It is indeed a great blessing to welcome to our campus today Elder Robert D. Hales. Elder Hales was sustained as a member of the Quorum of the 12 Apostles on April 2, 1994. Prior to his call, he served as presiding bishop of the church for 9 years. Elder Hales has served the church in many capacities, including as an assistant to the Quorum of the 12, as a member of the First Quorum of the 70, as first counselor in the Sunday School General Presidency. He has also served as a regional representative, branch president, bishop, high counselor, counselor in the state presidency, and as president of the England-London Mission. Elder Hales earned a bachelor's degree from the University of Utah and a master's degree in business administration from Harvard University. Prior to his call to full-time church service, Elder Hales had a distinguished business career with 3 major international companies. He also served in the U.S. Air Force as a jet fighter pilot. Elder Hales and his wife Mary are the parents of 2 sons, and they have 9 grandchildren. It's a great pleasure to welcome Elder Hales with us today. Elder Hales.
What a joy it is to be here today. And as good as the Tabernacle Choir is, there are other choirs in the world. Thank you very much. It was gorgeous. BYU-Idaho is a unique educational institution with a very unique student body. I have read the mission of BYU-Idaho as background for what we will share together today. BYU-Idaho is a mission-driven organization with 4 basic elements. The first, to build testimonies of the gospel of Jesus Christ and encourage living its principles. The second, provide a quality education for students of diverse interests and abilities. The third, prepare students for the lifelong learning for employment and for the roles as citizens and as parents. And the fourth, maintain a wholesome academic, cultural, social, and spiritual environment. The result of your educational experience should prepare you to be disciples of Jesus Christ, leaders and role models, first and foremost in your families, then in the church and in the world in coming years. To accomplish these objectives, you'll need the following. First, know who you are, a child of God, and that you are in mortality to be tried and tested. Understand you have been given gifts and talents to develop, to be lifted up, and then share with others. Be obedient to the ordinances you have participated in and the covenants you have taken upon yourself. Always express gratitude for the blessings which you've been given and which have been given unto you, and be willing to share your testimony in spirit of love and caring with those around you. Know who you are, a child of God. Let's speak of that for a moment. You are in mortality to be tried and tested. Over the years, I have come to understand that we know where we came from, why we are here, and where we are going. Those are called the mysteries of God. And you know them. Great philosophers have tried to find the truth of such things, and you know it with the truth of the Spirit. We know that we were in the presence of God the Father and Jesus Christ, and that in a council in heaven we chose to come to earth and take upon us a mortal body and faithfully strive to achieve eternal progression. What we fail to remember at times during our life is that when we heard we were to come to earth, all the sons of God shouted for joy at the opportunity that was granted us, forgetting that we came to mortality as a probationary period, in which, along with joy, we would be tried, tested with all manner of trials, tribulations, temptations, and sorrows. The wisest counsel I can give you comes from Job. He was tested physically with boils from the crown of his head to the soles of his feet. You remember that in heaven, Lucifer told the Savior, if I test him, he'll deny you. His friends even told him that he must have done something terrible to be enduring the physical pain that he was going through. His wife told him to curse God and die. But Job teaches us a great lesson. The scriptures tell us, in all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. Job further testified that he would one day be in the presence of and be able to see God. We are children of God. He listens to our prayers. God, our Father, and His Son, Jesus Christ, want more than anything else for us to be worthy of returning to them, to be in their presence after we have concluded our sojourn in mortality. So the first important thing is to know who we are, so that when things become difficult in the world, we will have the faith to hold on to the treasured knowledge that we really are God's children. It says in the scriptures, through him the worlds were created, and the inhabitants thereof are begotten sons and daughters unto God. End of quote. If we understand and hold to this knowledge, we can endure to the end. Understand you've been given gifts and talents to develop, to be lifted up and then share with others. In the 46th section of the Doctrine and Covenants, we are taught, to every man is given a gift by the Spirit of God. To some is given one, to some is given another, that all may be profited thereby. To some is given by the Holy Ghost to know that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and that he was crucified for the sins of the world. And then it's interesting, it repeats after it, to others it is given to believe on their words, that they also might have eternal life, and they may continue faithful. This scripture further goes on to name different gifts which are given. Faith to heal, faith to be healed, word of wisdom, prophecy, discerning of spirits, speak with tongues, and interpretation of tongues. And many returned missionary in this audience knows that both as an elder or as a sister missionary, they were given the gift of tongues because they were on the Lord's mission. Then most importantly, we are taught, and all these gifts come from God for the benefit of the children of God. One of the greatest gifts is stated in the 28th verse of the 36th section. And it shall come to pass that he that asketh in spirit shall receive in spirit. That is a gift which has been given to you and to me. He that asketh in the spirit asketh according to the will of God, wherefore it is done, even as he asks. And then we read in the 32nd verse, and ye must give thanks unto God in the spirit for whatever blessings ye are blessed with. With that wise counsel, I think it is important that we don't get too puffed up with our intelligent quotient we've been given or unusual gifts which we have become aware of that we possess. Because all of these gifts, whether they be physical, mental, or spiritual, are given to us by our Heavenly Father and also for the benefit of those who are around us. It is interesting that that section in the 46th section of the Doctrine and Covenants teaches in several places the reasons why each gift is given. Once again, that all may be profited thereby, that all may be taught for the benefit of the children of God. As a young man, when we walked into a classroom, we knew that we would be graded on what was called a bell-shaped curve. There would be a few students who would get A's. There would be a few more students who'd get B's. The majority would get C's. And those on the end of the bell-shaped curve would fail. In many institutions, the bell-shaped curve still exists today. Teachers felt that they were under some obligation to have a distribution of grades metered out from A's to F's for failure. This is not the case at Brigham Young University, Idaho. As I have said, you are a unique institution. Let me give you a challenge. I would like to give you encouragement to be able to share your gifts and talents so that you can tutor, mentor, be in a study group possibly, or participate in the classroom so that after you leave this institution, you will willingly give to others by lifting them up and strengthening them by the very gifts that you've been given by God for that very purpose. I give you a promise that if you will live your life in such a manner, you will find that both the giver and the receiver will be better off for the interaction, for the sharing, and for the love between two people. I can remember years ago coming out of my first accounting class and feeling like I had just come out of a class where a foreign language had been spoken. I didn't have a clue what a debit or credit was and what it meant in terms of cash flow and a balance sheet. I didn't know where to turn. One of my best friends at the university, not a member of the church, Harvey Francis was his name, was studying to be a certified public accountant, and he loved accounting. We were dear friends. I was a pitcher, he was a second baseman. I can vividly remember sitting down on a hillside on a grassy knoll, opening our books, and having him tutor me in the language of accounting to understand its objectives and its purposes, which I would take with me into the business world for the rest of my life. Harvey wasn't concerned or worried that I would get a higher grade or be able to pass rather than fail. He was helping a friend in need. You never forget such gestures of kindness and caring in your life. It's more than an educational process that you are in. It is a process where you can give credit to your Heavenly Father for the gifts that have been given to you and your ability to share it with others. This is how dear friends are bonded and a realization of why we are here in mortality. My wife has a simple phrase, "Thee lift me, and I'll lift thee, and we will ascend together." Thee lift me, and I'll lift thee, and we will ascend together. Later in my life at Harvard Business School, one of the most magnificent experiences was to be part of a study group, which met every evening to review the case studies in preparation for being called on in a class and discussing a case in the case method study. I am so appreciative of the men I associated with in that study group and their willingness to share their intelligence and their background, their experience with one another. Once again, I urge you to think in terms of tutoring, mentoring, and forming your own study groups, not only to help one another and lift them, but also you will be lifted in the process. Be obedient to the ordinances you have participated in and the covenants have taken upon yourself as the second thing you will need to carry with you into life. I have come to understand if we know who we are and if we are aware of the gifts that have been given to us and give rightful credit to them and for them to the Lord, we can take the third step of doing what is necessary to achieve that which we have been sent to mortality to gain and experience, no matter what the tests are and the trials may be. The account was given in Genesis 49 has always touched my heart. Let me give you the setting. The prophet Jacob is nearing the end of his life, He has had the appearance of God to him and Luz, and has adopted Ephraim and Manasseh as his own children. He has blessed Joseph and has prophesied that his seed of Ephraim will become a multitude of nations and that Israel would come again into the land of their fathers. He then called on all of his sons before him to give each one a father's blessing. I am convinced that our fathers, when they gave us blessings, knew who we were, probably knew our gifts and talents, probably knew what our potential was in mortality. It was this spirit in which Jacob, or Israel, gave the following. And this is what it says in the scriptures. Gather yourselves together and hear, ye sons of Jacob, and hearken unto Israel, your father. He then proceeded to talk with each one of his children. Reuben, Simon, and Levi were chastened. Reuben was the firstborn and should have inherited the most from his father and all of his kingdom. But he said this to Reuben, Reuben, thou art my firstborn, my might, and the beginning of my strength, the excellency of dignity, and the excellency of power. That was his potential. And then he gave this following blessing to him. Reuben, you are as unstable as water. Thou shalt not excel. Contrast that with the blessing that was given to Joseph. Joseph was a fruitful bough whose branches would run over the wall. Joseph was told, the Almighty shall bless thee with the blessings of heaven. All these of the 12 tribes received their blessings. And this is that their father spake unto them and blessed them, and every one according to his blessings, he blessed them. Reuben was the eldest. He should have had the birthright, but he was unstable as water. What did his father mean by unstable as water? I have thought about that since I was a young man. We have been told that we should be true and faithful and endure to the end. But here was Reuben, and his father had told him, unstable as water. I've thought about it. When water's hot, it evaporates. When it's cold, it freezes. When water is uncontrolled, it brings great damage in floods, erosion, mudslides. How do we make sure that we have greater stability? We must understand that great blessings came to Joseph because of his obedience, and all the blessings that were rightfully Reuben's could not have been given to him only because of his moral conduct did Joseph receive the blessings, and Reuben's immoral conduct that he lost his rightful heritage. There have been many times when I've pondered why the Savior and the prophets throughout all dispensations are tested with trials and tribulations when they are obediently doing the work of the Lord, what God would have them do as their Father. We too are tested with trials and tribulations, even when we are faithful in obeying God's commandments. For example, think of all the suffering Jesus had to endure to complete the atoning sacrifice to become the Savior of the world. He endured rejection from his own people, disgrace, beatings, trials, suffering Gethsemane, bleeding from every pore, the walk to Golgotha carrying his cross, and ultimately excruciating death upon the cross at Calvary. And he did this for all of us. He did this. Add to this the weight that he bore, knowing that he must complete the atonement perfectly for his father's children to be able to return to him. There was a purpose for his suffering as the Savior. The only perfect man to ever live on earth took upon himself our sins so that we could have repentance from our sins if we came unto him. Jesus did what Father commanded and was obedient to his commandments and desires, But it was not easy. When he prayed in the garden, "Father, is there any other way? Can this cup pass from me?" And then, of course, Father, knowing that he was reaching out for help, sent an angel to comfort him. That is why I think we have to remember that when we have trials and tribulations, we go to our Father as well, and we will be comforted, and we will be guided, and we will be strengthened, and we will endure to the end. Alma explained to his son Helaman that their forefathers had lost their way in the wilderness because they refused to follow the directions given them through the Liahona, because the way was too simple. And like Alma taught, the words of Christ, if we follow their course, carry us beyond this veil of sorrow into a far better land of promise. He warned Helaman, "Oh, my son, do not let us be slothful because of the easiness of the way. For so it was with our fathers. For so it was for them, that if they would look, they might live. Even so it is with us. The way is prepared, and if we will look, we may live forever. And now, my son, see that ye take care of these sacred things. Yea, see that ye look to God and live." This scripture tells us that if life is too easy, we may not be accomplishing what we were sent on earth to learn and develop spiritually. Let us not be slothful because of the easiness of the way. Because if we are slothful and take the easy way, we will not learn what we are sent here to learn. We will not be able to teach others what we should be able to teach them with what we have learned. Knowing that those who take his name upon them would be hated, and as he was hated during his ministry, Jesus prayed in his intercessory prayer for them. Being a Christian, a follower of Jesus Christ, carries with it an obligation to faithfully endure to the end through all our trials and tribulations. In fact, we are instructed by our Lord to endure our trials and tribulations well, so that we may be granted blessings that will be rightfully be ours because of our faithfulness. In a like man, Prophet Joseph Smith was tried and tested. He was brought forth for the restoration of the gospel in this last dispensation of the fullness of times. Joseph was doubted, reviled, tarred, feathered, ridiculed by mobs and citizenry. When he testified of having seen and been in the presence of God, of Jesus and angels, the saints who believed in the restoration and who followed Joseph as their leader were driven from their homes, suffering untold pain and suffering for their beliefs. In short, there was a price of discipleship as we follow the Lord and his appointed leaders in this dispensation. And we can fully expect that as we come closer to the second coming of Jesus Christ and Satan is loosed on the world, your children, your grandchildren, are going to learn very clearly what it takes to remain true and faithful in a troubled world. It is touching to read in the scriptures about a prophet's frustration and even anger with the Lord when he was in Liberty Jail, enduring humane treatment. While in captivity and separated from the saints, who he felt needed him, in answer to his fervent prayer, he received counsel from the Lord that is precious to each of us as we endure our own trials and tribulations. Joseph was lovingly taught, "Know this, my son, that these things shall give thee experience and shall be for thy good. And these trials are but for a small moment. And thy God shall stand by thee forever and ever." It is so important we understand why we are tested in mortality. Our tests, trials, tribulations are to strengthen us and build our faith, not to destroy us. That is why we lift and strengthen one another as brothers and sisters, so that all may be sanctified and prepared for eternal salvation. When we are down, we should seek help in our prayers, and also from those who can counsel with us with wise counsel as to what we should do to heal ourselves. I would hope that all of you have received a patriarchal blessing that really provides an insight into the blessings which we will all have based upon our faithfulness and our dedication, either in this life or in the life to come. When tests and trials come into our lives, we can ask ourselves if the test is coming from God, or is it coming because of our own conduct? Sometimes there is a feeling that if I live a good life, I won't have any trials or tribulations. Or if I get married in the temple, I will have a happy life with a perfect family. You will soon find out that may not be the case, but you still have to remain true and faithful through it all. Remember, Job was a perfect man, as the people saw him. Tests came to him, and even the prophet Joseph Smith. We've even talked about the Savior's tests. If thou art called to pass through tribulation, know thou, my son, Joseph was told, that these things shall give thee experience and be for thy good. The Son of Man hath descended below them all. Art thou greater than he? I am reminded of Whittier's words. Of all the sad words of tongue and pen, the saddest of these, it might have been. Of all the sad words of tongue and pen, the saddest of these is, it might have been. One of the saddest sentences of life to me contains the words, it might have been. I want so much for you to understand that you do not want to live your life in regrets because of poor decisions or disobedient actions which you may take in your life. The adversary is so clever in his temptation and enticement for us to have a momentary lapse in judgment. In the process, we can lose all the blessings the Father has in store for us that are rightfully ours. But if such a moment should come, we must understand that through the atonement of our Savior Jesus Christ, misery can satisfy the demands of justice through repentance as we turn back, as we change, as we turn around. Father, in our prayers, and say that we will change our conduct as we pray, we must live obediently so that we can once again be worthy to receive the eternal blessings that the Father and the Son so want us to have, so that we can come back into their presence. Now the next and last point. Always express gratitude for blessings which have been given unto you, and be willing to share your testimony in spirit and love and caring with those around you. In Luke 17, the story is given of the 10 lepers. And it says as follows, and as he entered into the village, this is the Savior, there met him ten men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, go show yourself unto the priests. And it came to pass that they did, as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, and with a loud voice glorified God, and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, were not there 10 cleansed? But where are they? Where are the 9? These are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger. And he said unto him, arise, go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole. And as we conclude this discussion of what we must do to accomplish that which we have been sent forth on earth to learn and develop spiritually. It has been my experience in life that the natural man dwells upon his greatest losses and most valued possessions. He does not realize that the most valued possession he has is that of knowing that he is a child of God and that he has a Father in heaven. The poem Ozymandias by Percy Shelley teaches us that all things of this world are susceptible to rust, corruption, decay. It goes as follows. I met a traveler from an antique land who said, "Two vast and trunkless legs of stone stand in the desert. Near them, on the sand, half sunk, a shattered visage lies, whose frowned and wrinkled lip and sneer of cold command tell that its sculptor, well, those passions red, which yet survive, stamped out these lifeless things, the hand that mocked them, the heart that fed, and the pedestal these words appear, my name is Ozymandias, King of Kings. Look on my works, ye mighty, in despair. Nothing beside remains round the decay of that colossal wreck. Boundless and bare, the lone and level sands stretch far away." End of Shelley. Don't spend your life on the things of this world. We cannot take them with us when we die. But the things that are of real value to us, our faith in God, our testimony, our love to our fellow men, that is how we will be judged. That is how we will be remembered after we've endured to the end in mortality. May I conclude by relating the things which we want to accomplish. Know that you're a child of God, that you're in mortality to be tried and tested. Understand you've been given gifts and talents to develop, to be lifted up, then share them with others. Be obedient to the ordinances you have participated in and the covenants you've taken upon yourself. And then, of course, always express gratitude for the blessings which you've been given unto you and be willing to share your testimony, your spirit of love and caring with those around you. I give you my testimony that God lives and that Jesus is the Christ and that you and I have been sent here because we are in a council in heaven and we're one of the two-thirds who chose to take a body and come to mortality, and that as we progress, that if we are true and faithful to the laws, ordinances, and commandments, that I give my testimony that if we endure to the end and do it faithfully, that we can yet again come back into the presence of God the Father and Jesus Christ. May the choicest blessings of the Lord be upon you. You are at the Lord's university. You are being taught what only you can learn here. There's no other than place in the world where you would learn it. That you may learn it, that you may live it, that you may testify of it, that you may endure to the end and have eternal life, I so pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.